Red Ice members, thank you very much for joining us. We are talking with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and I'd like to begin this segment, Len, to talk a little bit more, I guess, about some of the more, you know, downish versions of where we're going with this, some of the more depressing, if you would call it that, information. I know that you've done a lot of important work when it comes to the AIDS virus and how that has been introduced, shall we say, into the human culture. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about what you've discovered, what you came about when you researched AIDS and so forth. I guess that this was something also that kick-started way back in the 90s, as you mentioned to us in the first segment, when you were working in dentistry, isn't that right?
Well, that's where I began to get involved in looking at HIV/AIDS and having to deal with a Florida dental AIDS tragedy that brought healthcare to a halt in the United States, pretty much. It was amazing how much money was being lost by the drug companies and the suppliers of all of the infection control products, everything from sterilization and disinfection and waste disposal and barrier protection, gloves, masks, goggles, all of that stuff is a market. It's an industry. And that I watched the industry as the chief professional advisor for the largest dental and medical catalog supply company in the world, a company by the name of Henry Schein Company. I watched that industry being created based on a fraud. And that dentist that injected six of his patients with his own strain of HIV, that information was suppressed. There was a cover-up that I fell into when I began to investigate it. It changed my life. It changed my career. And it got me blacklisted from the lecture circuits of the American Dental and Medical Associations and the Academy of General Dentistry. Mm. And I've been a frequent lecturer on those circuits. And suddenly now I was no longer in vogue and my material was too controversial. And so that led me into going deeper and very, very, very deep into looking for whatever clue I could that might explain why this Florida dentist would do such a thing. Why would he inject his patients? In essence, he was an organized serial killer that had intended, like all serial killers like, to play games with the authorities. Mm. He intended that the world become aware of the virus from which he was dying and how he and his gay friends in New York City and the village were all dying. Mm. And in essence, what happened was there was a 1972 through 4 hepatitis B vaccine that the Merck Pharmaceutical Company had developed based on the United States Army contracts administered out of New York. Mm. And that the fellow by the name of Dr. Maurice Hilleman,
yes,
who's the chief expert in vaccinations, he's passed away now, but he's recognized as the world's leading authority. He was won all sorts of awards. He was the Merck Pharmaceutical Company's chief in vaccine division. And on YouTube, actually, you can go on YouTube and see what I've posted. It's a segment from my documentary film called In Lies We Trust. And you can actually hear Dr. Hilleman admitting that he brought the AIDS virus into North America in contaminated monkeys and also chimpanzees that he used to produce the vaccines.
Yeah.
And so I had actually, before I learned about that interview with Dr. Hilleman and then later posted it, before I knew anything about him, I had discovered that same concept. I had developed a theory based on the scientific evidence that I had determined after researching for 3 straight years, 16 hours a day, almost 7 days a week, that thesis. You know, and I did most of my research at Harvard because I'm a Harvard graduate in public health. Mm. And so this is what I found. I found that ultimately the United States government contracts under which numerous AIDS-like and Ebola-like viruses were bioengineered by the United States Army's 6th top biological weapons contracting lab called Litton Bionetics.
Yes.
They're a medical subsidiary of the mega military weapons contracting lab called Litton Industries. And so Litton created this beast. They had their monkey colonies and chimpanzee facilities in southeast Uganda. They had their injection and experimentation on the black population in northwest Uganda. They worked also in Zaire under Mobutu, and he was connected to the money and the payoffs from Kissinger and Nixon. That basically Central Intelligence was operating there, and that this has been a CIA covert operation, this whole AIDS distribution, and ultimately the CIA is operated from British Secret Service, MI6 particularly, and we even know where MI6 now got its name because of what we talked about in the last show, the music, and in fact, 528.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's part of the ancient solfeggio scale, isn't it, to the MI6?
That's right. Yeah, when you add the numbers like they do in the ancient mystery schools, like Pythagorean mystery school math, 5 plus 2 is 7 plus 8 is 15. Then 1 plus 5, that's 6. That's the third note. Do, re, mi, mira, gestorum in Latin, miracles, yes, in English, miracle 6, MI6.
How about that? That's very, very interesting. Hey. In regards to AIDS as well, what would you say about a character like Robert Gallo? He's also been kind of accused of bringing or creating the AIDS virus. What would you say to that?
Yeah, that's exactly who was most responsible, in my opinion, for being the laboratory official that was overseeing the development of these types of viruses. There's a couple others that are heavily implicated, but certainly Gallo stands out among them. I have already on YouTube posted my exchange with Dr. Gallo during the 11th International Conference on AIDS in Vancouver, where I challenged him during a public forum, asking him, is he all concerned, yes, about his research, whereby it appears that his research created AIDS. And, of course, he got very, very upset and very condescending. And he lost his cool big time, and everybody that watches that says, man, this guy is really not on the level, to put it mildly.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, that's right. I remember that that specific scene, and that's incredible. I think over, 130,000 people here have seen it on YouTube already, so it's definitely getting around, and that's a good thing. The word is spreading, Leonard.
Yeah, well, again, it's the truth that shall set you free. There's a lot of people that are interested in that,
yeah.
So... you know, the people, I mean, we're really dealing, we're dealing with evolution of the species and survival of the fittest, but that survival of the fittest is going to be the survival of those who are most conscious, most spiritually blessed, that this requires an awareness of what the risks are and what the deceptions are, and avoiding those risks, taking steps in your own life and in the lives of your loved ones and your family, as well as community, to prepare for an alternative way of living,
yeah,
something that places our faith and trust into far more trustworthy sources of everything from information to the technologies.
How do you view a subject like GMO, genetically modified organisms, or if we look at the food supply that we're having now? A lot of this is, they're slowly, bringing in laws that is implementing GMO and making it slowly kind of more acceptable, if you will. They've even, to my, way of looking at this, they even, with the so-called food scarcity thing that we heard about a couple of months ago before the economic thing began, they were trying to bring in GMO as the big savior, as the big thing that was scientifically and technologically going to save us from the so-called food shortage. What do you think about the whole GMO debacle, Len?
Yeah, I think it's a hideous tragedy that we're going in that direction. And it's not just in the food arena or agricultural arena. We're looking also at the medical arena. They claim that Genito Pharmaceuticals is the future of medicine and healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So genetically modified germs and all sorts of weird things that they're producing, chemicals, just totally weird. And, it's so sick and sad because health and healing is so easy and it's so simple. And this is what I work with the World Organization for Natural Medicine and the Clinics for Humanity project, we're setting up clinics worldwide that are natural healing clinics. And we're going into really impoverished nations and communities whereby you can't afford even a dollar for a drug. Well, gee whiz, you don't need that. You don't need to waste your money and intoxicate the people and get them sick. Every single drug, because it's not made naturally, it's not intended. It's not intended by the Creator to bless you. And what you do, if you do go back to nature, if you do drink clean water, if you do eat good, pure, ideally organic foods, and you then breathe and exercise and you're out in nature and you're getting some sunlight, that's the essence. Good, you know, physiological needs, your basic physiological needs, food, water, air, and you've got it made. Then you add to that, you know, the whole spiritual understanding of how healing actually occurs electrogenetically, electromagnetically, bioenergetically. We are energy beings. And so, you know, the biblical scriptural prescription is, come out of her, my people, lest ye be infected by her plagues. You know, come out of this hypocrisy, this lunacy, this Babylonian degenerative tragedy that we have accepted, and we've remained silent in not protesting against. Basically, it's time to come out of that because there's no other reasonable course of action. It's most reasonable to sustain our planet for our children and our children's children.
Hmm. You know, to even top on top of that, what is happening as well is that not only are you know, a lot of people suffering because they're getting, you know, vaccinations, they're getting medicals, chemicals that in one regard they don't need, but also we up here in the Western world are being manipulated through our, you know, consciousness, as it were, to put constantly put money into these health organizations that claim that they're supposed to, you know, go down into troubled regions and supply them with the vaccinations. And so it's very much a global grid scam going on here that has been built up, and we're all in this circus in one way or another, it feels like.
You know, let's focus on this. Please, if you're listening, pay attention. Vaccinations are the number one genocidal weapon used by the global elite today to intoxicate humanity's bloodstream, to produce long-term chronic illnesses that are treated most expensively pharmaceutically. So vaccines, if you simply use, you know, your a pea brain of intelligence, if you knew what was in vaccines, and here I'll give you the list, foreign RNA, foreign DNA from bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, chicken embryo, bovine fetal serum, monkey kidney tissues. With smallpox, it's cow pus. You know, you might as well add eye of newt. You know, seriously, I mean, it is such toxic garbage. Now, that's just the active ingredients.
Yeah.
The passive ingredients, stabilizers and sterilizers, include aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde and formalin that you preserve corpses with. If you're a medical student, you sniff it in the anatomy lab.
Hmm.
You know, it's hideous. It stinks. Yeah. And it's poisonous. And that's what they inject along with these heavy metals. MSG, monosodium glutamate, that give a lot of people headaches, that you tell your Chinese food chefs not to put in the food because you don't want the headaches and the neurological dysfunction and blood vascular changes. You tell them, get it out of my food, but they're injecting it into infants and our children. So all of these toxins and these foreign protein and genetic particles cause your own body to go into a shock. In essence, the result of that shock is that your white blood cell bodyguards are confused. What happens is that little piece of, let's say, a foreign bacteria or viral protein lands on your islet of Langerhans cell in your pancreas that produces insulin.
Mm.
And it forms what's called an antigenic complex. In the medical field, that's what it's called. It's a scientific term. It means it's, half of your own and half of a vaccine-injected particle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called an antigenic complex. Now your white blood cell bodyguards read that whole thing. It swallows it up, and it sends a message to your entire army of white blood cells that says, if you ever see this, attack and destroy it. So now you've got your own body. In fact, the global elite have, through their vaccinations, injected you that causes your own body to reject itself. Your body then starts to attack and destroy your insulin producers.
Mm.
Now you understand a significant proportion of the diabetic cases in the world today are vaccine-induced. And so this is, I mean, we can go on and on. The short list of vaccine injuries include all of these new childhood disorders, everything from autistic spectrum disorder, and which the government in the United States has been heavily covering up, along with the American Academy of Pediatrics, and recently in a judicial, hideous judicial determination of a kangaroo fraudulent court in the United States Supreme Court, basically said that there's not enough evidence to prove that vaccine mercury is the cause of autistic spectrum disorders. It's hogwash. Huh. There's a ton of science that speaks to that.
It's incredible.
Beyond autism, you have the childhood ear infections, these chronic draining ear infections that won't quit.
Mm-hmm.
Asthma, hay fever, allergies skyrocketing. This is primarily caused by hypersensitivity reactions from vaccinations. Then you've got the autoimmune diseases, chronic fatigue, immune dysfunction, fibromyalgia, lupus, MS, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, chronic crippling rheumatoid arthritis. As I mentioned, adult and juvenile type 1 diabetes, Crohn's disease, Guillain-Barré that my mother died from. After believing her physician said, you got to get vaccinated for the flu, my mother developed what's called Guillain-Barré,
mm-hmm.
a progressive autoimmune disease that literally attacked the myelin sheath of her nerve fibers. She became progressively weaker and paralyzed. She suffered with that for about 3 years, and then her immune system failed because of all the drugs that they were giving her. The anti-inflammatory drugs, the corticosteroids, caused her immune system to become so weak she developed cancer, and a few radiation treatments later, my mother was dead.
Mm.
You know, but I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
You know, so many family, you know, our brothers and sisters worldwide have experienced this now over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And so if you're wise and you're listening, if you have a pea brain even, and you got one brain cell operating, do not ever get yourself or anyone vaccinated with anything ever again.
If anyone you know, out there is listening and that is in this quandary at this particular time where they're like considering, you know, okay, yeah, my doctor recommends, you know, either me or my children, whatever, to get vaccinated. Is there any idea at all to even, you know, take up the fight, if you will, with the local doctor? I mean, because on some level, I'd guess that they are so indoctrinated themselves, so it's no reason even going to the debate with them. Just try to step away from that much as possible and decide not to do it. What would you recommend, Len?
Well, actually, that's funny you should ask, because I just, a couple minutes before you called, I got an email from a doctor in Chicago area, Joseph Marcola, who's been a very big advocate in the risk awareness of vaccination movement. And my friends have been doing that same kind of work. We've been advancing little exemption, liability waivers, exemption forms, attachments that you are to append to the exemption forms that you give the physicians and the public health nurses and the school administrators.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the one that I just saw that Joseph Marcola sent out was one that had a informed consent statement that you were to ask the physician to sign, and it asked for the physician, his name, address, credentials, and then asks him, has he read what the potential risks of administering the vaccinations are, and then it give the whole list, and it was like 3 or 4 pages of all of the like injuries and illnesses and premature causes of death that are associated with the vaccinations, and it then asked the physicians to check each one off and then sign it that they are willing to take on the risk and the responsibility, the accountability, and liability of injecting this this vaccine.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of things. On the website, tetrahedron.org, that's our publishing company's website, tetrahedron.org, there is a articles archive section, and there's a file in there called vaccinations. And if you open it up at the very top, we have another similar form, and then we have two articles that we recommend everybody freely download. And one is called Vaccination, the Ungodly Practice. The second one is What Jesus and Moses Would Say and Do About Vaccinations and Tuberculosis Skin Tests. And they're wonderful articles, especially if you have a religious orientation, because we reviewed through the Bible all the New Testaments, all the verses that have to do with keeping the blood pure and keeping the seed, the genetics, from being manipulated and mixed.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the papers that you can print and then attach them, staple them to your vaccination waiver forms that you then submit for religious protest against the intoxications.
That's very good, good idea, and exactly that's probably the best way to go about that, and just to try to get away from it. I've heard this back and forth. I know that the U.S. have been, you know, specifically in the U.S., they've been struggling with this idea that some schools, for instance, claim that it's mandatory, that all children must get the vaccination and so forth, but is there any truth in that, or can people still, if we talk about it in the context of the U.S. now, can people still go under the religious ideology that, you know, no, because of religious purposes, I don't want to get my children vaccinated?
Well, to my knowledge, we're the only ministry. Right now, I work with the Royal Bloodline of David ministry, and it's the only ministry that I'm aware of in the world that is actually taking on this issue and trying to protect our religious exemption and our religious freedom to choose to not get vaccinated.
Mm.
And so this is an issue. We really could use some donations. We've got attorney's fees that have been ongoing for several years in this regard. But the critical issue is that they're taking it away. They're taking your right away. And we're, as we evolve now into this globalization, globalism, neocolonialism, corporate fascism, control over public health and what the population is required to do. For, as you say, example, going to school, you've got to get injected, infected, intoxicated before they'll let your child into a school. Even private schools in the United States have, in Hawaii, where we have our litigation, they require public and private, irregardless of religion and philosophy, they require the injection through the tuberculosis skin test of the TB proteins and some of the chemicals that are also harmful.
Huh.
It's such a fraud. It is just a horrific fraud and a great example of what Hitler said, his famous line, and Joseph Goebbels' mission, that the lies what's that quote? Help me out, Henrik.
The greater the lie, the more people will believe it. Is that one you're thinking?
Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's the quote I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know, and so that quote is, it says it all for the vaccinations. We believe what the media has told us, and the doctors believe what the drug industrialists have taught them, and the control over the medical establishment is very, very certain.
Yeah,
you know,
it's really incredible, and again the importance of you know staying away from all of that stuff that is going on, and again just relying on natural means to get well. It's so, you know, obvious in a way, and all these weird diseases are only popping up in the human, you know, in the human world. Some of our pets do get the disease, of course, because again they are in the same environments that we are. They're in this, you know, in many cases eating the same or very similar food and things like that.
Cat leukemia never existed. They created it in the labs. That's one of the discoveries I made and I published in the book Emerging Viruses.
Really?
I show you the documentation and the science back from the Special Virus Cancer Program, whereby they created the feline leukemia viruses. You know, I want to bring out also OxySilver. People should go to OxySilver.com, OxySilver.com, and join up as an affiliate. Join up as somebody who's out there saving some lives with literally nano silver water, a mineral water that can make all vaccinations and all antibiotics completely obsolete. There's no reason for us to get injected, infected, intoxicated with all these drugs and chemicals and vaccines. All we need to do is use what NASA science put together in the 1980s, based on German technology of the 1950s. They created a liquid solution, water, virtually mineral water with less than 5 parts per million silver in its nano form, to keep the astronauts healthy in space and keep all the water purified in space missions, even though they circulated. Now, this is what we've got going now to Africa. We're helping save lives and masks down in Africa. India, we've now got a project beginning in India with OxySilver. We're setting up manufacturing plants worldwide. People who want to have an alternative to these deadly vaccinations and antibiotics have a fabulous opportunity to help save lives and even prosper financially by doing it.
So give us out the website again for people who are interested.
Yes, that's OxySilver.com, OxySilver.com. And by the way, this is the first solution, and I love that word solution, universal solvent, solution is water. This is a water that is essentially electrocutes the viruses, bacteria, fungus, all the pathogens. It oxygenates, which is extremely helpful for eliminating cancers. Oxygenation, ozonation therapies, very powerful. So this is this produces this kind of a water solution. That's what OxySilver is. And it's the first time in history where we've actually used what I was sharing with you in the last program, 528 hertz frequency. That's a vibration, cycles per second of 528 cycles per second is what we have impregnated into the water. Now, water itself is a liquid crystal. Water is also a superconductor. That's why a whale off of Hawaii can communicate with his family or friends in South Africa, because the water superconducts sound signals, frequency vibrations. We've impregnated OxySilver with 528 hertz frequency, which literally makes it an extremely powerful love potion, because 528 is love, is the frequency of the core creator frequency of nature. It is love. And so when you now take that frequency, put it into a liquid crystal superconductor of water, and then add nano silver, which is silver is one of the most electrically conductive of all the elements, you've got a supercharged love constitutional remedy, like a homeopathic delivers frequency resonance into the human body virtually instantaneously, far faster than drug, chemical, or chemistry can allow. So this is what we're now doing with OxySilver. So we're not only defeating and eliminating all the infectious diseases, we've now developed the technology to literally bless humanity maximally with the Creator's core resonant frequency of love.
Wow, that's really, really interesting. And again, would you say that, you know, I've been fascinated with the properties of water for such a long time. It's such a simple element, if you will, and yet it seems, you know, as you say, it's a crystal, it's a floating crystal. And would you say that, I've heard this expression that water actually has a memory of its own, and that's why things like homeopathy, for instance, actually works, because it holds the resonance of something much better than anything else. Is that right, Len?
Absolutely. In fact, water is a liquid crystal pyramid. It's a shape of a pyramid. It's a tetrahedron structure. H2O is a tetrahedron pyramid-like structure. That's a tetrahedron is four-sided equilateral triangular structure. That's the most stable structure in the universe. And that structure then facilitates the energetic transmissions, reception and conduction and memory of the energy. And so that's what the pyramids are really all about. That's why the Egyptians built them, the Mayans built them. They had everything to do with sound and frequency, vibration, and sacred geometric and cosmic constellation, the mathematics and music of the spheres, of the sacred geometry of the universe. This is what we've now been so blessed to advance, the most basic fundamental understandings of these, this music of the spheres, this music by which nature actually is uplifted and sustained. This is what we're now applying to the most wonderful natural remedies and various healing practices from color and sound therapy, music therapy. We have a CD that we sell for Jonathan Goldman, who is one of the world's leading sound healing experts. And he took these frequencies that we advanced in the book Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse, what we call the perfect circle of sound, and he created a CD called Holy Harmony. Holy Harmony is available from that store called HealthyWorldStore.com. You can get Holy Harmony CD, and it is creating miracle after miracle after miracle. People that listening to it, that I recommend you add prayer to it, listen to it at night when you're going to sleep. It'll not only put you to sleep, but it'll also cause these miraculous transformations to occur in your own body that you've prayed for. And it's based on this understanding that there's nothing missing, nothing broken, the religious world says, in the kingdom of heaven. Mm. Well, the kingdom of heaven in the world of physics and mathematics is called the musical mathematical matrix. And so we've got the core creative frequencies of that matrix where there's nothing broken. There's no dis-ease. There's no dissonance. There's only harmony with this communion divine. With, you know, divinity's communion is the optimal harmony.
Hmm. Really interesting. Hey, Leonard, why don't we spend a little bit of our last few minutes here together? I want to talk a little bit. There's so many areas, obviously, that we haven't had time to talk about this time. But language, I know that in one of your lecture presentations, and I can't remember now in which book it is, you describe and talk a little bit about the English language, for instance. You mentioned this, of course, a little bit before in regards to frequency, that words are incredibly important. But even the fact that the English language potentially is something that has been created, shall we say, or put together by a certain man. Maybe you can just tell us briefly a little bit about that, Len.
Sure, and you know, that goes to answer the question you asked in the last segment also about what proof do you have that this is a conscious manipulation of the population.
Yeah.
The English language is again, a masterful proof, an example of the precision by which the manipulation has taken place. English, we now know, is backwards alphanumerically. Every letter has a number equivalent. And all that goes back to the fact that the Creator's language is math. So, you know, word is sound. Sound is frequency. What's that? Math. So basically, the core creative frequencies that I've just been talking about that create this musical mathematical matrix that the religious world calls the kingdom of heaven, where there's nothing missing, nothing broken, one and one is always two. Two always comes after one, unless you're a liar and a cheater. And so basically, this is the kind of concept that language, the Creator's language, never lies. And so humanity's language, unfortunately, can't hold up to that. And when you look at English, the English language is alphanumerically exactly flipped from Hebrew, sacred Aramaic, ancient Sanskrit. These were the sacred languages because when you spoke them, they resonated the frequency that we talked about in the last program, where if you're listening to a radio show and you're on the exact station, you're fine. But if you tune 1/10 of a hertz frequency, or let's go 99.6 to 99.7, you get static.
Yeah.
Same thing with language. The English language is, I think, the most tragic language and least communicative, and the sacred languages were the most communicative, because what they communicated most importantly is this energy frequency of divinity, that nature vibrates, let's say, at 528 hertz frequency of love. That's why the botanical world is green, mostly green. That's why chlorophyll is green color, this yellowish green color, because it's receiving the most blessing from the ethers.
Yes.
And from this musical mathematical matrix. And so if you and I are speaking in that kind of a language, then we're going to be resonating in communion divine and optimal communication, communion, community building. That's what this is all about. That's what communication is. It's communing. And so it's a frequency resonance that brings us into harmony or dissonance. And unfortunately, the English language, by its inception, is completely opposite to what it should be.
And there's a few references to who is potentially also behind this. I mean, we have people like, you know, John Dee, even Francis Bacon being involved, and questions arise there if actually, in fact, William Shakespeare possibly was Francis Bacon, and with his poetry and prose, if you will, actually managed to make, you know, and create and the you know, English language. And there's a whole mystery, if you will, behind that, which is really interesting. But the question is then, would you recommend people to learn another language? Is there any way to get away from that? Would you say that there's an health effect that takes place when we're using the English language even?
You know, I do recommend people, if they're able, to learn another language. Fortunately, most of us don't have the time and even the patience or the intelligence.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, how are we going to get to save as many people as possible? The answer is in music. That's what Live H2O. Go to LiveH2O.org. LiveH2O.org is all about. It's this concept of how we're going to get out of this mess using the frequencies of divinity to bless humanity maximally, to bring us out of this stupor, this subhuman realm of paralysis and degeneration that we're engaged in here. And that the concept, I want to go back to the spoken word of sound, of frequency. It's the heart mind, not the ego mind, that lives in love. It's the heart mind, not the ego mind, that literally has full faith. It's the heart mind that does this most miraculous creativity of the children like Akiana and others. It's the reason why Da Vinci wrote backwards, because he was engaged in opening up this divine communion, this clear channel of communication between the creator and his creative self, is a heart mind, not an ego mind function. And so this is the renaissance. The way that we're going to accelerate the spiritual renaissance and taking back this planet for the love of God is by playing the creator's music. That's what the Concert for the Living Water is all about. That's the mission of it, essentially raising ourselves up for this opportunity and this divine calling, literally to fulfill prophecy. All of the Bible prophecy, all the Aboriginal prophecies, all of the Native North American and Indian prophecies, all of them have been associated with a transformation in consciousness that can only come about from the music of the Creator. And that's the mathematics, that's the word, that's the sound. The sacred sounds have the capacity to open the heart mind and soothe the ego mind.
Well, that's a very, very positive message in what, you know, many people consider these times to be very, very gloomy in that sense. And we definitely, you know, need some kind of a little bit of an inspiration, as it were, here to and new ideas. That's what we need, you know, to get away from the old way of thinking in that sense, and just seeing problems everywhere and just moving in a new direction. So I like, you know, the energy that you bring to this, Len, and also the scientific, you know, knowledge and background in regards to how much of the discoveries that you're making, how it works, how it implements also on the scientific level. So I really appreciate having you here today and talking about some of this stuff. And I can't wait to see your presentations, of course, in London, meet up with you there and so forth. It's going to be a really great one.
Wonderful, Henrik. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you also, and I look forward to giving you a big hug when I see you in London.
Sounds good. Again, I want to give out a few websites here just to finish things up here. Thealternativeview.co.uk, of course, to find out more about the conference over in London where Len will be speaking, and then a few more of Len's of his websites. We can give out healthyworldstore.com. We also have healingsounds.com, tetrahedron.org, and there are a few other ones here that we will have linked up on Red Eyes as well. So with that, thank you very much, Len, for coming on. Hope to talk to you soon, and we'll see you soon. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thanks again.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That's our program with Dr. Len Horowitz. Go to some of his websites and take a look at his work and search for a few of his videos on Google Video or YouTube. There's some vital information in there and also some very interesting perspectives. We'll talk more soon. We're going to have John Harris coming up and Adrian Gilbert shortly on the program. We are also going to proceed with the part two of our webcast series with Michael Tesserion on the Brotherhood of Death. So eyes on redicecreations.com. Thank you for joining us. Take good care and bye for now.